Welcome to NTD News. I'm Tiffany Meyer. Here are today's top stories. President Trump wants to meet his accuser in the Ukraine whistleblower case. Democrats still pushing for impeachment after call transcript ended. Anonymous whistleblower expected to testify. World leaders attend funeral of former French leader Jacques Chirac. Thousands of people line the streets of Paris for the procession. Hong Kong protest march meets with police violence. Journalist shot at close range with non-lethal weapon. Protesters beaten to the point of convulsion. Medical staff prevented from giving aid. Winners announced for NTD's International Piano Competition Contest attracted nearly 90 pianists from close to 30 countries, featuring unique fusion of two musical cultures. The House impeachment inquiry into President Trump is set to intensify this week, with testimony from those involved in a complaint made by a whistleblower in the intel community.
Trump sent out several tweets on Sunday evening saying he wanted to meet the whistleblower, as well as the person who illegally gave this information to the whistleblower. The whistleblower has not yet been publicly named. The whistleblower wrote a complaint citing a July 25th phone call in which Trump asked Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky to investigate former Vice President Joe Biden and his son Hunter, who sat on the board of a Ukrainian gas company. Trump and other Republicans want to know if Hunter Biden benefited from his dad's position. As Vice President, Joe Biden threatened U.S. aid to Ukraine if a prosecutor investigating the gas company Hunter Biden worked for wasn't removed from office. Biden said it was because of corruption and not because of his son.
Somebody ought to look at whether or not Joe Biden had the prosecutor fired in an improper way. I love Joe Biden. I don't want to look at it. I want an inspector general, somebody like Mueller. Did Biden know that his son was receiving $50,000 a month from a gas company being investigated by the prosecutor?
The House Intelligence Committee is leading the impeachment inquiry. The committee is scheduled to hold a closed-door hearing with the intelligence community's Inspector General, Michael Atkinson, on Friday. House investigators are also scheduled to hear testimony from two people mentioned in the complaint.
Two things you look at to determine the credibility of a so-called whistleblower when they're coming forward. First, did they have firsthand knowledge? And second, what is their motivation? Was there some kind of bias?
Later this week, the House Intelligence, Foreign Affairs, and Oversight Committees will receive depositions from Trump's former Special Representative for Ukraine, Kurt Volker, and former U.S. Ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch. Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff said on Sunday he expects the whistleblower to appear before the panel very soon.
World leaders, past and present, stood in silence today at a funeral service in Paris for Jacques Chirac, the French leader remembered at home for his charisma and abroad for opposing the 2003 invasion of Iraq.
France's Emmanuel Macron, Russia's Vladimir Putin, and former U.S. President Bill Clinton were among those in attendance at the Saint-Sulpice Church for the mass in memory of Chirac, who died last week, aged 86. Chirac's coffin, draped in the French flag, rested at the front of the church after having been driven in a procession escorted by police motorcyclists along streets lined by thousands of Parisians. Archbishop of Paris, Michel Aupetit, addressed the roughly 2,000 people gathered in the church.
Peace is what we ask for on this emotional day of farewell, which touches all of France together. We were able to see the many people who came yesterday to pay tribute to Mr. Jacques Chirac at the Invalides.
Chirac, who served as president from 1995 to 2007, was feted by many French people for asserting their country's role as a global player, a stance that put him at odds with Washington over the invasion of Iraq in 2003. A somber-looking Macron bowed his head in front of Chirac's casket before 10 members of the elite Republican Guard lifted the coffin onto their shoulders and marched out of the building's courtyard as a band played Chopin's funeral march. NTD News.
Forever 21, the fifth largest specialty retailer in the United States, filed for bankruptcy yesterday. It joins a growing list of brick-and-mortar retailers who have been taken down by e-commerce companies like Amazon.
Forever 21 said the bankruptcy and the restructuring that comes with it will allow it to focus on the profitable parts of its operations. It plans to shutter many of its international stores. The company said in a statement that it has requested approval to close up to 178 stores across the U.S. Which domestic stores are closed will depend on negotiations with landlords. Founded in 1984, the retailer said it has 815 stores in 57 countries. Forever 21 plans to close most of its stores in Asia and Europe, and its subsidiary in Canada has also filed for bankruptcy and will close 44 stores. However, it does not expect to exit any major markets in the United States. The company, however, will continue its operations in Mexico and Latin America. Since the start of 2017, more than 20 U.S. retailers, including Sears Holdings Corporation and Toys R Us, have filed for bankruptcy as more customers shop online than in malls. NTD News.
In Hong Kong, protesters took to the streets to participate in a coordinated global anti-totalitarian march yesterday and were met with police using violence to try to stop them. NTD's Jeremy Sandberg was on the scene.
As part of a coordinated global anti-totalitarian march in Hong Kong, protesters took to the streets to condemn the Hong Kong government and the Chinese communist regime. Police closed down train stations in the area in an attempt to stop people from joining the parade, firing beanbag rounds and tear gas off a bridge over the street. During one confrontation, a female journalist was shot in the face at close range by police with a beanbag round or rubber bullet, causing damage to her eye and forehead. The parade was split in half, with some of the protesters making their way to government offices where they were pushed back by water cannons and tear gas.
So this was the main route for the parade heading toward the government building. The police have blocked off the streets and been firing tear gas and beanbag rounds at the protesters, and they've made several arrests.
A few of those being arrested were unconscious on the ground. One protester was seen twitching as he was put on a stretcher and into an ambulance.
The protesters are terrified, just like I am. And I'm an American, and I know what unnecessary use of force is.
Police were seen beating protesters with batons even after they were restrained.
I'm scared to death at this point. All I want to do is get back to my hotel. But yes, I support the protests. Yes, absolutely.
First aiders on the scene were denied from treating the injured by police.
I have shown my staff card to them to show that I am a registered nurse to have the ability to deal with the injured people, but they won't allow us to give the appropriate management to the...
Citizens demand an independent inquiry to investigate police actions during the protests.
In Hong Kong, when the street they have the police, it's not safe anymore.
Nearing 4 months of ongoing protests, citizens say they will not give up until they secure their freedom. Jeremy Sandberg, NTD News, Hong Kong.
Solidarity rallies were held in other cities around the world. In Washington, D.C., some 20 NGOs protested the Chinese Communist Party's 70 years of rule and called for it to stop meddling in Hong Kong's affairs.
October 1st marks the 70th anniversary of the Communist Party's rule in China. Hong Kong democracy activists organized anti-authoritarianism rallies in over 40 cities around the world. Chinese democracy organization Citizen Power Initiatives for China was one of the groups that protested outside the Chinese embassy in Washington, D.C.
Today we're here to call for the end of communism and fascism with Chinese characteristics. Today here we call for free Hong Kong. We have Hong Kong people here. Free Hong Kong.
People from Hong Kong, Taiwan, Xinjiang, Tibet, Vietnam and Cuba joined pro-democracy activists for the international human chain of protests. The Communist Party's anniversary this year has been highlighted by the pro-democracy protests in Hong Kong. 3 months of protests have been fueled by a controversial extradition bill that would allow people in Hong Kong to be sent to China to face persecution. Hong Kong has long been a beacon of freedom under a one-country, two-systems arrangement with Beijing. But many see this bill as trying to erode Hong Kong's freedoms.
So I think this is a really good chance for the rest of the world to really think about and take a deeper look at what the CCP has done for past couple of years or maybe even decades.
I'm very interested in China. I just don't like the political party that's in power right now.
Beijing has planned a large celebration for the October 1st anniversary. For the many who have fled persecution in China, the Communist Party is nothing to celebrate.
The CCP has whitewashed itself as a brilliant 70 years. From my point of view, not just my view, but from my experience, these have been 70 years of bloodshed, horror, and repression.
Organizers of the rallies linked the Chinese Communist Party with the Nazi regime in Germany by creating a new Chi-Nazi flag. During the event, the participants stepped on the flags to show their disgust with the Chinese Communist Party's action.
Take down the Communist Party. Free Chinese people.
Reporting by Kitty Wong, NTD News.
Heavy rains have killed at least 113 people in India over the past 3 days, officials said today, as floodwater swamped a major city and inundated hospital wards.
India's monsoon season usually starts to retreat by early September, but heavy rains have continued across parts of the country this year, triggering floods. At least 93 people have died in the country's most populous state, Uttar Pradesh, since Friday. A neighboring agrarian region, Bihar, was also hit by floods earlier this year. The death toll reached 20 Monday. Bihar's capital city, Patna, is home to around 2 million people. It's been badly hit, with waist-deep flood waters across many streets. In some parts, authorities deployed boats to rescue residents. Weather Department officials said this month that monsoon rains were likely to be above average for the first time in 6 years.
Refugees clashing with police on the Greek island of Lesbos after a fire broke out in a crowded migrant camp.
A deadly fire broke out in a crowded migrant camp on the Greek island of Lesbos on Sunday, killing at least one person. As firefighters battled the flames, refugees clashed with police, who deployed tear gas and sent reinforcements to the camp in a bid to restore order. The blaze erupted at a container inside the Moria camp, where 12,000 people live in overcrowded conditions. Police said the charred remains of a woman were taken to the island's capital for identification, and that they were not immediately able to reach an area of containers where there were unconfirmed reports of another burned body. Lesbos is one of the closest Greek islands to Turkey, from which Greece has seen a resurgence in migrant flows in recent weeks. More than 9,000 people arrived in August, the highest number in the 3 years since the European Union and Ankara implemented a deal to shut off the Aegean migrant route. The migrant camp on Lesbos is the country's biggest and running at almost four times its capacity. The Greek government said on Monday it would step up the transfer of asylum seekers from its islands to the mainland, with at least 3,000 being transferred by the end of October.
Up next, the Thai Prime Minister tells Bangkok residents to put on face masks as smog envelops city. Toxic matter floating in air, a danger to health. City tries to speed up anti-pollution measures. That and more after the break. Thailand's prime minister is urging residents of Bangkok to wear face masks to filter unhealthy air as smog from air pollution envelops the city.
The prime minister said Monday that the concentration of tiny particulate matter had reached unsafe levels and said he ordered government agencies to expedite anti-pollution measures. As the toxic smog settled over the city, many locals took his advice and put on masks as they went about their business.
Yes, absolutely. Today, a lot of my friends are saying that, you know, they come to the office, their nose is running, like their eyes really hurt. Some of them are really coughing a lot today, that it's not normal anymore.
The head of the country's pollution control department said the smog comes from still air and high humidity. This causes the ultra-fine dust from vehicles, construction sites, and other pollutants to accumulate. It's then trapped close to the ground by a blanket of warm air. The prime minister said he had asked for cooperation from the construction and manufacturing sectors in cleaning up the city's air. The smog levels are expected to stay high for the next 2 or 3 days. Bangkok's pollution is not connected to the haze caused by the forest fires that have been affecting Indonesia, Malaysia, and parts of southern Thailand.
India is set to impose a nationwide ban on several single-use plastics, ranging from bags to cups and straws Wednesday. Many are cheering the environmentally friendly move, while some, especially those in the plastics industry, are facing challenges to their livelihood.
India's most sweeping measure yet to stamp out single-use plastics from cities and villages that rank among the world's most polluted has left many distressed, especially small plastic manufacturers and street snack vendors who say the ban would be a death blow to their business.
There is no work for 1 month. I have to pay my children's school fees and other family expenses, and it is serious trouble for us.
The ban is likely to be imposed on plastic bags, cups, small bottles, straws, and some types of sachets. However, environmentalists say the government should not rush to ban before lining up waste management alternatives with environmental, social, and economic feasibility. Global studies show nearly 50% of single-use plastic products end up killing marine life and entering the human food chain.
The step that the government has taken to reduce the environmental pollution taking place due to these plastic packets is very good. We should support this step to stop environmental pollution.
Officials say penalties for ban violations will probably take effect after 6 months to allow people time to find alternatives.
Up next, astronauts live in dark caves as part of their training. Coming from five different space agencies, they learn about multicultural cooperation, that and more when we return. Six contestants from nearly 30 countries signed up for the NTD International Piano Competition. 15 made it to the semifinals and 6 advanced as finalists.
And the winner of the gold award is...
金奖获奖者是...
Vladimir Petrov from Mexico.
Vladimir Petrov played Schumann Symphonic Etudes and Liszt's Mephisto Valse at the competition. His sensibility combined with technical skill set won the judges over.
I'm very, very happy. I didn't expect that. My heart was beating so fast.
The competition focuses on the Baroque, classical, and romantic periods, with no music written after 1900, save for a special commissioned work called Triumph of Goodness. It was arranged for piano using classical techniques and Chinese melodies. Nicholas Giacomelli from Italy won silver. He sees the competition as playing a role in reviving tradition. For him, it's full of discovery.
Learn something about Chinese music. That is something that a classical pianist usually never do in his career.
He says part of a musician's job is to instruct audiences, to stretch them, but always within the traditional frameworks. Sang-Yi Lee from South Korea won bronze, and Shi Ye Lu from Taiwan won the Commissioned Composition Award. Becky Yao is the head judge of the competition. She says contestants are so pleased with the repertoire, they're already starting to prepare for the next competition. NTD News.
And in an underground cave in Slovenia, 6 astronauts have been working on their team-building skills while in the dark.
Run by the European Space Agency, the team is made up of astronauts from 5 different space agencies.
This course was created in order to improve the astronauts' ability to work in groups of multicultural, multidisciplinary team for long-duration space flight in isolation, far away from Earth, in an autonomous environment, in an alien environment.
While the cave might be on planet Earth, it is still an alien environment for most. Living in the dark was one of the challenges.
In the cave, I really wanted to see the sun, and when I came back to the ground, I was really happy to see the sun, and I thought this world was full of colors.
Before going underground, the team spends a week above ground in training, attending lectures, and taking part in practical exercises. Then, over 6 days inside the cave, they get to know each other while sampling and analyzing the microbes that call the cave system home.
Well, one of the main things that we do in this training is learn how to work as a team.
The 3-week program is called CAVES, an acronym that stands for Cooperative Adventure for Valuing and Exercising Human Behavior.
And in London, an 800-year-old tradition celebrates wool as an integral part of London's history.
People watch as flocks of sheep are driven across London Bridge. The annual event sees 600 freemen accompany the sheep with former Member of Parliament Michael Portillo as this year's shepherd. The tradition dates back to the creation of the City of London, when freemen had various rights such as exemption from tolls and crossing London Bridge.
The City of London was involved in medieval trades and crafts, which are still relevant today, and part of what is going on today is looking forward to the future, where we have wool and other textiles very much part of the future of the economy.
Old London Bridge itself was built by taxes received by the king from the sale of wool. Time-honored traditions like these connect the times of old with the people of today. NTD News.
And that's all for NTD News today. Join us tonight. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Tiffany Meyer.